Mark, the 14th chapter and the 3rd verse. We've been talking about last week, we talked about worship. We're going to talk a little bit more about worship today. I want to say thank you to everybody that allowed themselves to just let themselves go in worship this morning. I had to go get my jacket and was coming back in, and when I walked in, I walked into a ruckus, and I couldn't help but smile. And we've got to understand that there's something about when we just begin to worship God. When we just begin to worship God, there is something about it. When everywhere you look in the Bible, it never said just stand there and do a golf clap when you worship God. He talks about all kinds of instruments, loud voices, all kinds of noise, and there's just something about it when you just say, I came to worship God today. I came to get into His presence. I came to just cut loose and allow God to do whatever He wants to do in my life. Because where there is worship, there is freedom. Where there is worship, there is healing. Where there is worship, there is deliverance. Where there is worship, that is where God is going to be. And where God is, anything can happen. Amen? It says Mark, the 14th chapter and the 3rd verse, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Everybody say Simon the leper. As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and of spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. One scripture talks about the disciples. And they said, why was this waste of an ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, there's something about Jesus when Jesus knows exactly what's going on in the heart of man. They weren't making a big deal of it out in front of Jesus and making a big deal, letting him know all about it. They wanted to be in the background and just stir up trouble. They wanted to be in the background and just talk about it. And Jesus stopped in the middle of what was going on and said, hold on one second. Wait one moment. I know that this doesn't make any sense to you because, Judas, you are living in a carnal state right now and you can't even fathom what's going on in her life. You don't know what I've done for her. You don't know what's happened. You don't know what she's been delivered from. You don't know the situations that have happened in her life. You don't fully understand what she's gone through to get to this place. You don't understand how much I mean to her that she was willing to give all of this for me. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. He said, you're always going to have somebody poor to help. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. That's one of the most powerful statements in the whole Bible right there. She has done what she could. I didn't ask her to go beyond to do something she couldn't do. She's not going to be honored because of something that was way beyond her ability or expertise. She just did what she could do. She is come forehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial unto her. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak to us this morning, oh God, that your will and your way would be done, that your Holy Ghost would move and flow in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to say thank you for all of our guests that are here this morning. It is an honor to have you with us this morning. Amen. There are 4 basic ministries that have to be in the body of Christ. You wonder, well, what would be the four most important ministries that we have in the church? What would be the most four important things that should be in the life of every Christian that sits in this room today? The one of them is the ministry of worship. We've got to understand that worship is something that has to be done. That the angel's job is to worship. We've got to understand if God expects the angels to worship, He expects us to worship also. We've got to be worshipers. In that worship, we've got to be prayers. We've got to have a relationship with the Almighty, awesome God. If we know who He is, then we'll want to know Him, and we'll want to worship Him. You've got to have the ministry of word in your life. You can't live for God without the word. You can't be saved without the word. You can't walk on streets of gold without the word. You can't have deliverance without the word. The third one is witness. Our lives have to be a witness. Our lives have to make a difference. Our lives have to change the circumstances of the things that are going on around us. Without worship, it's hard to be a witness. Without His presence in your life, it's hard to be a witness. If you're not excited about Jesus in worship, you're not going to be excited about Jesus as a witness. There's something about the revelation of who He is that should get us excited. There's something about the revelation that an almighty, all awesome God loves us, cares about us, knows exactly where we're and what's going on in our lives that should say, hey, He's worthy of everything that I can give Him in the ministry of work. See, worship is not just what we do when we walk in this place, but it's the life that we live. When we walk into this room, it should just be an extra added bonus to the worship that we've already been living throughout the week. It's a place that we can come that has freedom. It's a place that we can come that has a moment of time that is set aside just to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We've got to understand that without worship, there is no church. Without worship, there is no power. Without worship, we're just another gathering of people that have come to sit and talk about good things. In 2008, they built the Millennium Towers. You may have heard of the Millennium Towers. It is a multi-billion dollar structure that was built in San Francisco, California. It's down in the financial district. It's got 58 floors of condos. The first week, and Brother Vanover's going to feel the Holy Ghost when he hears this. The first week that they were open, they did over the first 5 weeks of sales, they did over $100 million worth of sales in condos just in the first 5 weeks that the Millennium Towers were open. It's 645 feet tall. It's the fourth tallest building in San Francisco. The condos range anywhere from $1.6 million to $10 million a condo. But the problem is just a few years ago, the building began to shift. The builders of the Millennium Towers wants to blame it on the work that has been done around them. They want to put the blame on somebody else, but the building literally began to sink into the earth. Over the last several years, this luxury residential high-rise has sunk 17 inches into the ground and has tilted 14 inches in one direction. That since it's been completed in 2008, there has been a shift and a change inside of that building. They want to blame it on everybody else that is around, but the truth of the matter is they did not find the bedrock of where they should have built the foundation. The foundation has been flawed from the beginning, and it doesn't matter how many billions of dollars you place on top of it. If the foundation is wrong, everything is going to be wrong. People that spent $1.6 million on a condo is lucky to be getting $300,000 for the exact same condo. The city has ruled it safe to live in if you don't like playing with marbles. And so it's a safe place if you feel like that a building that is sinking and shifting is a place you'd like to spend $300,000. Men like Joe Montana that played for the San Francisco 49ers have purchased apartments in this building. But the problem was is the foundation was wrong. They begin to dig over 200 feet further past the basement of this building, and they finally found the bedrock. They found the foundation. Instead of looking for the foundation in the beginning, now they are looking for the foundation. It's going to take $150 million to stabilize this building. They're going to have to begin to drill down and begin to put poster and concrete into the bedrock, into the foundation, into what is sure and firm. Upon this rock I will build my church. That they're having to go down now and find that foundation, but the damage is done. It's no longer what it used to be. It just has a reputation and a joke. Men that at one time stood esteemed in front of crowds that could talk about the building that they built is now just a joke of something that somebody else would laugh at and say that they don't have all of the answers. It's Matthew 7 and 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was a foundation founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of the house. We've got to understand that we've got to have a foundation of worship. We've got to have a foundation of prayer. We've got to have a foundation that says that when all else fails, we're always going to be worshipers and we're going to be prayers. No matter what the wind blows, we're going to be worshipers and we're going to be prayers. It doesn't matter what comes against us, we're going to be worshipers and we're going to be a praying church. No matter what floods might come against, we're going to be a church that is a praying church and a worship church, because there's got to be a foundation to stand upon. There has to be a place that is firm. It doesn't matter how far we have to dig. It doesn't matter how deep it has to go. It has to be upon a rock upon which he can build his church. Jesus said her worship is a memorial. It's something that has been built up, that whenever this gospel is preached, it's going to be a memorial unto this young lady. Noah talked about it last week when he stepped off of that boat. The first thing that he did is he sacrificed. The first thing that he did is he came and he began to worship God. Some of us, we'd say that it doesn't make sense. It's too much. We need to wait till next year. We need to wait until things are better. We need to wait until something's different. We need to wait until everything is where it needs to be. We need to let the animals at least be able to reproduce 1 year and maybe take one of the small, weaker ones and allow maybe another year of a strong growth season before we do this. But Noah understood that it doesn't matter what my future holds if I don't start it right now. It doesn't matter what's going on next year if I haven't done today right. It doesn't matter what's going to be 20 years from now if I don't start things on a firm foundation. When everybody else would say what you're doing is wrong, he said, you don't understand. I'll let God figure everything else out. All I know is that he desires a sacrifice for me, and I am going to do it. He knew about Cain and Abel. He understood that when Cain came to the altar, he brought something that he wanted to bring. And Noah said, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to bring a sacrifice that the scripture says was a sweet smelling savor before the Lord. That when he sacrificed, when he worshiped, it came up before the Lord, a sweet smelling savor, that it got God's attention. It wasn't until after the worship that God said, I will never flood this earth again. It wasn't until Noah worshiped that God stopped in the midst of smelling that worship and that sacrifice that he had created, that God stopped and said, never again will I destroy the earth with water. And in fact, I'm going to set a rainbow in the sky to remind everyone of the covenant that I have made. Where did that covenant come from? It came from an act of worship. When you see that rainbow in the sky after a storm, this afternoon when you step outside and the weather has begun to calm and to change, and you look into the distance and you see that rainbow was created by a man's worship that said, I don't care what is logical. I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. I'm not worried about what I should do or what nature says should happen or the way that it should play out. All I know is that my God deserves a sacrifice. He deserves my worship. He deserves my trust. So many times we'll hold back. Do you know what I'm telling God when I hold back? I'm telling God that I can do more with this than you can. That's what I tell God. When I hold back, I tell God, God, I want you to know that I've got better control of this, and I've got better plans, and I've got better ideas of what I'm going to do with my future, or my talents, or my abilities, or my finances, or whatever, my energy, whatever it is. You're letting God know that I've got bigger plans for this than you do. Noah could have held that lamb back and said, God, next year I promise I'll do two instead of one, but I'll give later when things are a little bit better. I'll give him my time. I'll worship a little bit differently later. But this year, you understand, things are tight. Things are struggling. Things aren't where they. I'll wait till later. And God says, if you think you can do with it better than I can, if you think you can take care of it better than I can, that's your business. But there is something about God that when you decide to say, God, I'll give you what you desire. God, I'll lay it on an altar. God, even if it doesn't make sense in my life, but I feel like this is what you desire, then God, I'll give it to you. That's why Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself unto an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet smelling savor. There's something about it that goes up before God when there's a sacrifice that is made. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, what are the words that he used? He didn't say, I'm going to make a sacrifice, I'm going to give away. He said, I go yonder to worship. See, the problem is we look at sacrifice as something that hurts. But when you understand that when I give, it's about worship. When I give, it's about him. When I give, whether it be of my time, my energy, my health, my substance, my tool, whatever it is, whatever you've got, whatever God's calling you to do, when you give, it's not a sacrifice. It is a worship unto an almighty, awesome God. And when we worship, anything can happen. Perfume is an interesting substance. Scientists have proven that perfume even messes a man's head up. It messes with the neurological, everything that's firing off in here. When they smell something pretty, it messes them up. We're not that bright, folks. We just can't handle it. We were in the Galleria. I was in college, and there was these French girls that had walked in. They were talking French. And I don't know if I had ever seen French girls at that time. And we were a little bit enamored by the French girls. And I was standing there with my buddies. And the closer they got to us, we began to look at each other and wonder, what is wrong with you? You need to go bathe. What were you thinking? We're at the Galleria. You should have thought about this. And the closer they got, the worse it got. And then we realized we didn't have the bathing problem. They had the bathing problem. It had a counter effect. The stronger it got, the less pretty they became. Nobody wanted to meet them. We all wanted to leave the gap, and we were done, and it was over. And there's something about perfume that creates something that when it smells good, when you walk into a home and there's that sweet smell there, there's something about it that's inviting. When you walk into a place and it's not sweet, there's something about it that we don't want to eat here. We don't want to stay here. We don't want to be here. Why? Because there's something about it that creates happiness. There's something about it that creates a moment. There's something inside that is okay with where we are. And the scripture says, when I worship, it creates that for an almighty, awesome God. That when I go beyond myself, it creates something that cannot be ignored. When I go beyond myself I lift him up, it creates something that God, where's that coming from? What's going on? I've got to be a part of this. I've got to be a part of what's going on here. In the house of Simon the leper, the scripture says, this story has always messed with my mind, because wherever Jesus is, it's always... there used to be a leper. There used to be somebody that was demon-possessed. There used to be a harlot. There used to be somebody that was dead. There used to be somebody that had the palsy. And wherever he went, they were either about to be changed or they were already changed, because that's just what Jesus did. But the scripture that we read this morning says Simon the leper. Now, a lot of times we'll justify and say, well, that was just his nickname because that he used to be a leper. And there's no way that they would have ever hung out with a leper. They kicked lepers out of the city. But one thing you've got to think about, it doesn't matter what anybody else knew. Jesus already knew. Do you think a leper, when he first got leprosy, he'd walk to the temple that day and be like, hey, I got a spot on my elbow. I need you to look at it so you can kick me out. I'm ready to go live out in the leper colony. I'm excited about it. And so I need you to take a look at this spot on my elbow. I imagine from that day forward, when they had a spot on their elbow, they forever had any convictions against short sleeves. They were going to do everything they could to cover up the things in their life that would cause them to be kicked out. I imagine that as he sat there at that table that day, when the Bible says that he was a leper, nobody else in that room must have known that he was a leper, but he knew that he was a leper. And the scripture says that he sat at the table, and when they would eat at the table in that time, I couldn't do it, I would be a mess. They would literally lay down and eat while they ate. They had chairs that lay down, and they would lay down and just be comfortable as they ate and enjoyed each other's company. So Jesus walks into the room, and a man that needs help lays down and does absolutely nothing. A man that nobody else might have even known what was going on in his life. A man that had issues that needed to be changed, issues that needed to be fixed. He had situations that were going on in his life, and he was willing to take his chances and just sit there and watch and blend in and act like everything was okay. You've got to understand, if your marriage is on the rocks, it's not time to blend in. It's time to get his attention. If you've got issues in your mind and there's something going on at work, and if you don't change it, it's going to rip your marriage apart. It's not time to blend in and act like everything's okay and look at everybody else because it's just not common. It's time to say, God, I've got to get you in my life. If something doesn't change, if you don't touch me, if you don't give me strength, if you don't give me help, if something doesn't happen, I'm in trouble. All the professionals sat back. Oh, we've been around Jesus a while. This isn't common. But this little lady came in with a year's worth of wages in an alabaster box. It was probably passed down to her from her mother. And she didn't care what anybody else thought or said. She wasn't worried about the status quo. She wasn't worried about what all the other professional worshipers were doing at that moment. It didn't matter that people were laid on the floor and were just comfortable and enjoying themselves. She wasn't too worried about what the rest of the church was doing. All she knew is that there was Jesus in the house and he deserved her worship. All she knew is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had stepped on the scene, and it didn't matter what else was going on. She knew that she needed to get into his presence. Well, Brother Pugh, I don't know about all that. You don't have to. You don't know what some folks have been going through in this room today, the battles that they've been fighting, and just stepping out for a moment, something began to change and something began to shift in what was happening in their life. God, I've got to get out of my comfort zone. I've got to get out of the status quo. God, I'm weary and well-doing. I'm tired. I'm struggling with some things. What are you doing? Hey, if all you ever do is just tap your foot when the music gets good, maybe next time just raise your hand a little bit. If one hand is all you lift, maybe next time get both hands. Little wave, maybe a head bob be added to it or something, but somewhere you gotta say, God, I'm stepping out beyond the status quo. I'm not gonna be a Simon the leper that'll just sit by and watch you walk by me. What happened with the 10 lepers? They stood afar off, the scripture said. They didn't even come close, but they hollered, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I'm over here. Have mercy. I know who you are. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. You're healed. And they begin to make their way down to the temple to go show the priest so that they could make their way back home. And one of them stopped. The scripture calls him a Samaritan. And he backed up. He went back to Jesus. And the scripture says he fell at his feet and he praised him. And when he began to worship, Jesus said, be thou made whole. The others were healed, but this man was made whole. In a moment of worship, this man stood up, and fingers that were gone began to grow back. Things that were wrong in his life, things that had been torn apart, things that had been left, all of a sudden, God began to put them back together again. Where did that happen at? It happened in worship. It happened in the man that was on his way home to say that I'm healed, and said, I'm not just satisfied with a healing. I want to go let him know that he's my everything. I want to go back and tell him thank you for what he's done in my life. And in the midst of that thank you, in the midst of going beyond himself, in the midst of turning back around, in the midst of that celebration and coming back to the Creator. See, that's what you've got to understand, that he created it. He's the one that built it. He's the one that put it all together. He's the one that's got all the answers. So instead of me trying to figure it out with whatever I've got, God, I want to bring it to you. God, I want to give it to you. God, I want to let you know that you're my everything. God, I want to let you know that you're worthy of my worship. And God says, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. I can't resist. I can't say no. I got to stop everything that's going on. Wait one moment. What's going on? Jesus in the garden, he's leaving. And he heard the footsteps of a worshiper coming through the garden. Mary standing there. She wants to grab him. She wants to give him a hug. Oh, don't touch me. You can't touch me. Please don't touch me, you'll mess it all up. But what? He couldn't resist the footsteps of somebody that's saying, God, I'm coming to you today, God. There's some of you that need to wake up tomorrow morning, and in your worship, you need to come before him. Oh, the footsteps of somebody walking into the living room 30 minutes before they usually get up. Oh, I hear those footsteps. Oh, the footsteps of somebody making their way to church on a Sunday morning as they open the car door and they get in and they begin to drive. There's something about those footsteps that gets the attention of God. You've already got his attention. You've already made your way here. He's already heard the footsteps of somebody that quite possibly wants to be in his presence. Why not go ahead and take advantage of it? Why not just say, God, since I'm already here, since you've already stopped and taken a look, since you've already heard me walk through those doors and I haven't surprised you, I might as well go ahead and get into your presence. Hallelujah. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that the foundation of this church, oh God, would be built upon prayer, that it would be built upon your word, and that it would be built upon worship. Lord, I pray, oh God, that there would not be a shift, that whatever we build from this day forward, oh God, would not find itself 8 years from now beginning to sink and to shift 14 inches to the left, but oh God, that there would be something that is built in this city, oh God, that is built upon a rock upon which we can stand. I pray, oh God, that there would be people in this room that their minds would begin to be opened up to the realization of how powerful your worship is. That when they walk into this place, when it doesn't matter if they're in their car or sitting at home, there is something powerful about worship. What is worship, Brother Pugh? Jesus, I love you. Oh, do you love me because I've been so good, Jesus? I just want you to know I love you. Do you love me if I change the circumstances in your life? Jesus, I just want you to know I love you today. I love you. I love you. Where do I start, Brother Pugh? How do I worship? Jesus, I love you. God, I want you to know that you're my everything. God, I want you to know, God, that I want my life to be pleasing to you. God, I love you. God, you are worthy. God, you are worthy. God, you are worthy. God, you are holy. You are righteous. You are mighty. What is it the angels cry? Holy, holy, holy. God, you're holy. God, you're righteous. God, you're worthy. God, you're powerful. God, you're wonderful. God, you're my everything. God, I love you. God, you're a deliverer. God, you're a waymaker. God, I love you. I love you. God, I feel like I've been stuck in a rut. I feel like my marriage is stuck. My relationship with you is stuck. My ministry is stuck. Whatever it is, how do you get traction? You get your car stuck in the mud this afternoon in your front yard. Sometimes if you can just get a little weight, just get a little weight on the front of it, get a weight on that back tire, whatever it is, where it can just catch something. There's some people in this room you need his presence to weigh down on you today. You need his presence to rest upon you today. Something would catch you. That struggle that you've been having, that whatever it is that you've been going through, that something would catch in that rut, that spinning in place, that all of the junk that's been flung everywhere, all of the mud that's just all, and all of a sudden there's something that's beginning to catch today. There's something that, it's because God's, I'm here. Let my weight, let my glory rest. Let me do something. How do I get his attention? Jesus, the high son of David. One leper rested, talked. other leper worshiped. Oh, one leper, the presence of God passed by and went on. And nothing changed. And the other leper got up. Oh. It's your decision this morning. Pray always, God, make us whole. God, don't just heal us, make us whole. Don't just repair the things that are wrong, make us whole. You've got to understand that being whole is going to be up to you sometimes, because it's going to be you saying, okay, God, I'm not just satisfied with the scar being healed. I want to be whole. I'm not just satisfied living the way that I've been living with just what I've got left. God, I want you to restore, God, the things that the canker worm has taken from me. And it happened in worship. My kids are lost. Worship. I've got sickness in my body. Worship. With things in my mind that I feel like they're taking over my life, and if I don't get a hold of them, they're going to destroy my kids. Worship, God. Because it creates something that God says, oh, I feel this man. Let me rest here. They begin to sing as we all stand and begin to make our way to the front. Of the Most High, as we begin to come as a church family.
It's where I am. It's where I am.
God, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit today. I'm going to come all the way to the altar. Stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit today, God. I'm not just going to come down and look. I'm going to lift both hands today, God. I'm going beyond how far I usually go, God. I'm going to let tears stream down my face. I'm going to open my heart up, oh God. I'm going to allow your presence to rest upon me today, oh God. I'm not going to go to where I'm going to eat right now.